You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome in, Sterls. Thank you for joining me tonight. Obviously, Jerry couldn't make it, so I have you, you know, sitting in for him. Like I joke and said, my second favorite person I like to argue with is gets to join me tonight.
Yeah. You know, this is the pleasure's mine, you know. Wow. Just the fact that I get to sit on here and just harass you to no end. Really,
I'm waiting for it.
I'm telling you, I've been waiting for this for so long.
It's yes,
so long. So thank you for having me on.
Oh, well, no, thank you. I heard it's snowing out there in Colorado. Yeah.
So little known fact about Colorado is that we get a snowstorm right around Halloween each year. It happens every single year. And you know what? The funny thing is people are still surprised by it.
I don't know. I would have to really, there would have to be a really good reason for me to move back to anything like that.
Well, you can't compare Buffalo to Colorado. It's just different.
Well, it's just different. Still, it's but still it's weather. Snowing. It's still weather.
It's cold. It's a little cold right now. I ain't gonna cap. It's cold.
Yeah. So how are you doing otherwise? Everything good?
You know, it's great. You know, and I'm grinning from ear to ear because you know I'm about to you're gonna get it tonight. So
all right. Well, before we get into too much and you like totally give me hell all night, let's do our first sponsor and get that out of the way, and then you can give me hell.
Bet.
Nothing builds the thrill quite like seeing our Buffalo Bills march right down the field. Every pass, every play, and every touchdown. But for those of us who have to catch the action blurry, it's time to call Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care and schedule a consultation. With Zeiss Smile technology, you can have your vision corrected in moments so you can get back to focusing on what's important. It's a quick, pain-free procedure with a world-class team and you're back in the action. Visit us online at Ficta.com and take our free self-evaluation test to see if you are eligible and schedule a consultation. Because here in Buffalo, we don't just watch the game, we live it. Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care. We are focused on you.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right. So guys, if you are on Facebook or Twitter and you want to kind of chime along and chat along with us, head over to YouTube and join us there, because the comments will come up and we can kind of communicate back and forth that way. So Sterling, I definitely don't want to get hung up with what everybody else is being, you know, hung up on, but we got to talk about it. Trade deadline was yesterday. Mm-hmm. We ended up getting Rasul Douglas. It's kind of funny because everybody that I've seen on Twitter, on any other social media that is a Packers fan is irate. They're pissed off. And then half of my friends that are Bills fans are text messaging, really, really, this is our big move. Like, I'm like, are you guys ever happy? How do you feel about it? Because I already have made it known. I definitely like this pick, this pickup.
Yeah, no, I like the pickup. I mean, were there more splashier moves to go get? Yeah, right? I mean, you could think of the names, and I'm sure, you know, we've seen the names on the Twitter sphere or the X sphere, if you will. But when you look at, like, actual fit and what the Bills can actually afford, I think it's the best value for where this team is. I mean, you're talking about, look, from the when you sit there and you listen to Brandon Bean speak this afternoon about the team and what Rasul brings to the team, you know, he brings that leadership component. I think you got to look at it. It kind of goes a few steps back where they got Josh Norman, right? Like, Josh Norman was supposed to be the vet in the room, but he really doesn't play, right? Yeah. So now you go get a guy not only as a outstanding human, but a great locker room guy. And I know Bills fans don't want to hear that, but I think when you look at, you got Christian Benford, who's quiet, who doesn't say much at all. You have a Dane Jackson, he's a spot starter at best, right? You don't have a dog in the room, a guy that's going to lift the spirits of the other cornerbacks and give them that confidence, right? I think you know, the person that's really going to benefit from this the most is Christian Benford and the safeties. Like, they're really going to benefit from having a guy that understands his defense, right? And that, and can make plays on the ball. So I like the move, right? I think it's great, you know. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, you mentioned, you know, what we could afford cost. He actually is costing us less than $1 million this year. And his cap hit next year is around $8.5 million, but it's non-guaranteed. So if he ends up not working out, we could let him go for literally that, you know, the swap of the third and the fifth. And you know, it's kind of a wash at that point. He works out, we have him, we can extend him early, actually pick up a couple of years with, you know, a very decent salary cap hit over the next few years. And say Trey does come back and Trey, you know, can be himself. Imagine having Trey and, you know, Rasul Douglas opposite each other. Benford as well, who to me, you know, Benford's Benford. He is a 6th round pick. I expected him to come forward a little bit better this year. I'm not saying he's disappointed, but I don't feel like he is. I don't think he's really taken that, like, that big of a huge step forward that I was hoping he was going to take. Now, obviously Elam is, kind of taken that big, huge step back. So I think we have a lot of people in the DB room now that can be worthy of, you know, being on this team next year as well. But I think that you hit the nail on the head when you said the locker room guy. So I literally, in my notes said, zone corner has played some press man at times when needed. Speed is not his game. Fundamentally sound, has played dime at Green Bay and matched up against tight ends in the end zone, which we lack. And then he spends most of his time lined up at the right side of the line. So right after that, I put locker room / culture guy. It's literally Sean. It's Sean's guy. Like, that, yep. He's the kind of guy that McD loves. So I like it. I think that it's low risk, high reward. So all the people that are complaining that it wasn't, you know, a big name, it wasn't, you know, Jalen Johnson, or he would have wanted a Trey White type of contract next year.
Right.
And we would have had to give up a very high pick for him.
And deservedly so. I mean, he's Jalen Johnson is a up and coming superstar corner in this league, and that's fair for him. And, you know, but you know, the cool thing about all that is, guess what? He's going to be a free agent after this season. So if the Bills really want him, they can go get him. They can figure it out contract wise. They can go get him. Let me add something about Christian Benford real quick. So, you know, watching his tape, Villanova, the dude, he was always around the ball, like in terms of taking the ball away. He has really good ball skills. I think, you know, you made a comment about you don't, not that you don't like, but you want a bigger step from him this season. for me, I see it just in terms of like who, like look at what he's actually set up to do. Like now he's everyone, you know, he's on the number one wide receiver for a lot of these teams.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah.
And it's an adjustment period. And so I like the trajectory of where he's going. I think this is going to bode well. I think, you know, hopefully if he can continue to take the next step. I thought he was the best corner on the field when Trey was on the field, just to, so you know.
Well, I felt last year he was. I feel like Trey has, in the beginning of this year, started to come into his own again. I felt like he felt more comfortable on the field and he wasn't being so scared. I felt like last year he kind of looked reserved, like he didn't want to hit anybody. He didn't like he was nervous that he was going to get re-injured. And you know, this year I felt like he was more comfortable again. I kept on saying, oh, maybe Trey White's back, you know, but, I think the biggest thing is that, Benford literally has gotten to that point where he's now shadowing, like you said, wide receiver one, most of these games. And maybe that's where I'm not giving him, enough of his flowers is because he went from, you know, being a sixth round pick to being, you know, to covering wide receiver two to now being CB1 most of the time. So maybe that trajectory that I was hoping to see, it's not quite fair because he's kind of gotten bounced around kind of crazily. So I hear you on that one.
Yeah, I think he'll get better. I would say, you know, it's a wait and see. The fact that we're even talking about Christian Benford, not Kyrie Elam in this moment.
I know.
Is a thing, right? So
yeah.
I'll take Christian Benford right now and him and Rasul. Think about this, though. You get two quasi-athletic. I think their athletic profiles are the same. I would say Christian Benford is probably a better athlete. But these are two guys who are physical, long corners, you know, with ball skills. I think that's a really good combination. So when you do play, when you're in zone, you know, you're not worried about those guys getting beat over top because you're going to have help, right? You know, they get to play an area. And I think, you know, that's where Rasul Douglas kind of takes the cake in terms of his instincts that Brandon Bean alluded to earlier. So you want to have Benford kind of around that, who also has good ball skills to kind of unlock that. So I just hope that it kind of translates to more turnovers as we go late in the season.
Well, and I do honestly think that he's going to be beneficial for Elam as well. I think he can train up Elam, you know, show him the right way of, you know, doing everything. And hopefully Elam can grow. It's one of those things though, that I feel like with Rasul is all the tape that I have been watching. He's literally lined up in all different looks. So he's been, in dime packages, which we did a lot last Thursday. We were in, we actually had Poyer come up, and kind of act as that extra linebacker, had Rapp and Hyde and, you know, acting as safety. So, I think it gives us another, you know, another wrinkle there. They were talking about it in the hour before, Taryn has had a couple of, bad games. So, you know, especially on some of the tight ends. So if we can get help anywhere there, it's definitely needed as we head into the later, you know, stages of this season, especially when we go against Philadelphia, Kansas City,
right.
You know, it's going to be a big deal. So, I'm looking forward to seeing how everyone, progresses. And, I think it was a good pickup. And a lot of people are like, well, we didn't get defensive tackle. There's no reason why we still can't. You know, that's one thing. We can't obviously get somebody from another team, but there are still several free agents out there. I know a lot of people were talking about Sue. You know, I personally think if we're going to pick somebody, we need to pick somebody that's replacing, per se, Daquan. So we need a one tech. You know, there's several people I know Cover One's put out quite a few lists of people who are, you know, free agents that are available. Do you have somebody that you're thinking? I mean, we have about $4 million technically on our cap. Obviously, we don't want to use it all. So, you know, is there somebody out there that you're thinking? Sue signed for $2 million last year with Philadelphia with half a year left. So,
I mean, I think the names are Ndamukong Suh, Matt Ioannidis. I think those are probably some of the.
Matt's a one tech, though. That's what we need. Is Sue's a three tech? I don't
think. But Suh can play the one. He can play the
might,
one.
I think he might need to now that he's, at, what, 36? 30? How old is he?
Yeah. So the thing
he might
is,
not be as fast anymore.
I mean, the thing is, you know, you want a guy that's really strong at the point of attack, right? And it's going to – if you can get somebody who's strong at the point of attack, it's going to free up Ed Oliver a little bit. You got to keep in mind, Ed can also play the one. You know, we asked him to do that two seasons ago. So it's kind of a mix and match situation.
Can play.
He can do it. It's not his strong suit, but he can do it. I just think getting another guy in the room that can be more stout against the run, I think that's
right.
The key.
That's what we need. I agree.
Instead of looking at, well, is he a one tech, two, you know, can he play the three? Get somebody who's stout at the point of attack and against the run. I think you'll be okay.
A lot of people are just saying we need a big body. Well, you know, no offense to you know, Phillips and no, you know, no offense. Even Puna hasn't really showed us what he, you know, what he was in Seattle yet. So but speaking of the defensive tackles, so last week on Friday I flew back from Buffalo, and I was on my Southwest flight, and you know, on Southwest you get to choose, you know, your seats. Well, I got on early. I have my back's been killing me, so I asked if I can do pre-board. So I got on, you know, one of the first people on, and I'm sitting, you know, like row six in a window seat. Some other old lady comes and sits in the aisle. And then all of a sudden I look up and, you know, there's this, you know, 6'4", 300 pound guy, you know, in the aisle. And I don't look at his face for a second. I was like, oh God, he's going to sit right in the middle. And they announce there are plenty of seats, head to the back. You know, you might even get your own row. And just as they said that, I make eye contact and I smile because I realize it's Tim Settle at that moment. And he has his hoodie on trying to make it so people don't see who he is. And we make eye contact and he was like, that seat taken. And I'm like, fuck. I was like, sure, of course. But he made himself really tiny to sit in the middle seat. But it was cool. So I got to have a nice little conversation before we both fell asleep on our flight. But it was cool to get to sit next to him and, you know, and get to talk a little bit. I think he was a little surprised of, you know, some of the things I was saying, but I didn't even tell him I had a podcast or anything like that. I was just like, yeah, you know, played a good 60% of the snaps yesterday. He was like, dude, you know all this. But it was funny. Quick little, you know, tidbit of my flight home. So he chose to sit in a middle seat on the flight back, and he nice. I don't think he quite knew what he was gonna get himself into,
and there were empty seats to be had.
There were plenty. If you went to the back of it, they said the back of the plane had empty seats. I don't think he wanted to walk all the way in the back and have every single row recognize him.
Sure.
But you know, at the same time, I had my Bill stuff on, so maybe he just thought, hey, let me bless this person with my present.
I mean,
or maybe I was blessing him with mine.
I mean, maybe. You never know what a man's thinking, you know?
Yeah. So I have a friend, though, that's actually friends with him. So I told him, I said, so over the summer, you know how you gave, you know, such and such friends and family passes for for training camp. He's like, yeah. And I was like, well, I was the friend of the little boy that, you know, he was like, wait, what? I was like, I feel bad now. And he was like, no, don't. But he could have just told me that it was for another person, you know, as well. But we had a nice conversation and stuff. So now I'm going to tell him, you know, if he ever wants to come on the show, I just have a feeling too many people might be too honest right now of how he's playing. So
I'm surprised you weren't honest with him.
Well, I mean, a couple of people were like, did you tell him he should be traded? I was like, no. I'm like, the guy just started playing like more than 50% of the, you know, the snaps and stuff. I'm like, he'll get into it. But yeah, it was a fun little trip back home. So But
well, you know, that's cool. That's cool. Hey, yeah. What kind of shirt you wearing right now? Tis the season for what?
Tis the season. It says pumpkin football, autumn, and I guess pumpkin spice latte. I don't know.
You get that from Starbucks?
No, I did not. It's actually this little store called, I'm plugging them right now, but it's called Live Love Game Day. Oh, so it's a whole bunch of like, it's like a girl's site for sports. Actually a lot of my cute little crop tops that I have are from there.
Oh, nice.
Sunday, I had on a Sunday fun day crop top sweatshirt, and I got probably 50 compliments on it throughout the day. So, you know, it was the first time that like I didn't have to have Bill's, you know, colors on or whatever, because we weren't playing on Sunday. So I got to wear it. I got a lot of compliments. So it's a cute little, you know, shop. I used to always be one of those people that like I only wore like NFL approved, you know, official, you know, I couldn't stand if it was like a Bills symbol that wasn't a real Bills symbol or logo. But I've changed, as I've developed more friendships and stuff with people that have their own little, you know, shops and stuff. I've definitely changed a little bit on that. And I like to be a little, I like to try to be cute once in a while on, you know, with my game attire and, you know, whatnot. So tailgate attire. So
festive.
But I was waiting. You were going to say something. You bit your tongue. You're not giving me as much shit as you said you were going to give me.
You know, I'm
holding generous. Back.
I feel generous tonight. You know, I'm feeling generous. It's okay though.
All right.
To go around.
The one thing I did want to bring up, and I'm sure everyone's been talking about it, is to wake up this morning and hear the news of the freaking Raiders cleaning house. They've got rid of McDaniels. They got rid of Ziegler. They got rid of their OC. They're benching Jimmy G. Like, how do you feel about them doing this, you know, mid-season? Do you think it's like, do you think that they should have done it also before the trade deadline so that they could have really thought about this process?
They shouldn't have done it in the first place, but I will give them credit, you know, because I feel like in business, in life, I think sometimes even when in relationships, we hold on too long. Right. So I'm going to give them kudos that they actually say, you know what, this ain't working. This is not working and y'all are done. But you got to like, it goes further than that. I mean, you had Gruden and what was the guy? Mike Mayock was the GM before that. And they, you know, it just like if you're a Raiders fan right now, you just got to be like, man, we're doing this again. So we're cleaning the house. We're going to change our identity again. They should have never went and got Jimmy Garoppolo and let go of Derek Carr. Like, what were they thinking?
I still don't understand that mindset. I think that, you know, Derek Carr, you know, might not be a top 10 quarterback, but he's between that 10 and that 15. I don't think Jimmy G, even healthy, has shown that he's anywhere near that yet.
Yeah,
like
you say, he's never healthy. And he's not good. He just he's bad. He's really bad. So you feel bad for guys like Davante Adams, you know, Max Crosby. You just like, dang. And also, just as a fan, like, okay, as a Bills fan, you want – can y'all give Mahomes like some trouble, any kind of trouble, any kind of resistance? Because we're at this rate, think about it. The Chargers underachieve all the time. The Raiders, who the hell knows what's going on day to day with that organization, right? And it's like, okay, what are y'all doing? We're giving the Chiefs the number one seed every single year because none of these guys can do anything. So it's kind of a bummer. You just hope that like they get the right guy in there again to kind of figure this thing out.
Yeah. And I think that at this point, like you said, the whole 2 years ago, the whole AFC narrative was the AFC West was going to be the hardest division to go through. And it's been literally nothing for the last 2 years. The Chiefs have just walked away with it all. You know, each and every year. I'm glad that Denver found something inside of them the other day. I don't know what it was. It was the second coming. I don't know, but they found something and they held Mahomes to no touchdowns, which I don't, I didn't look it up, but I was like, that's gotta be a first. I don't know if I've ever seen a game where Mahomes didn't didn't throw a touchdown, or at least have a running back that scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of liberating to go to the box score and see a blank space, Taylor Swift, by touchdowns.
I'm glad you knew that, because if you wouldn't have said Taylor Swift, I would have been like a blank stare.
Wow, you need to get up on your T-Swift.
I'm not a Swiftie. I'm sorry.
You
I'm
need
not
to get up on them T-Swift. I try to, if I'm talking Broncos and Chiefs or whatever, I'm gonna throw in a little Taylor Swift reference, because I know them. I know them joints. So, you know, that's just how it is. But yeah, the Broncos doing that, man, that was a breath of fresh air. Like being in Denver, you know, that's where I live. Seeing that game and just the energy in the stadium, because they just suck. They just suck all the time. But they took it to Mahomes. Now they'll tell you, well, Mahomes had the flu and his finger hurt, right? That's why they lost. And Taylor Swift wasn't there. That's so Kelsey wasn't right, whatever.
So I guess the two games that she hasn't been there, Kelsey has, you know, posted like 30 yards less than what he's, you know, averaging when she is there. So
yeah,
maybe there's
something. Keep the trend. Keep the trend. I like it.
Yeah. So come playoff time, people are going to be making sure that her plane's diverted. So she
right. can show up. Seriously.
But yeah, so I was a little surprised this morning to see the Raiders do that. But you think that they would have done it before, you know, they actually won three games. You would think that they would kind of just try to tank at this point. I know it sounds terrible. They're professional, you know, professional sports at this point. But, you know, not giving up Jacobs, not giving up Adams or any to get anything in return. Adams' contract kicks in next year ridiculously. So, I'm actually kind of surprised that they didn't try to, you know, do something and kind of start anew. I did tweet out the other day, you know, after he got very frustrated, he was throwing his helmet and, you know, getting angry. And it's become a little bit of a trend with him. He did it last year too. And then he pushed the photographer, as he was walking back into the locker room, being frustrated. And people are like, well, how can you blame him? You know, he signed up to be part of a winning, you know, team. And I'm like, no, he signed up to be part of the Raiders. Like, he wanted the money. Like, I can blame him. He decided to go somewhere that he left Green Bay for, you know, what he wanted in money. He had to know that the Raiders weren't going to be that team, in my opinion, he had to know that.
I don't know. I think he was sold a bill of goods that went sour real quick. I mean, think about it. The whole plan was for him to go to the Raiders to be with his former college teammate at Fresno State,
right?
Derek Carr, right? And then, you know, so I think they probably.
But he got pissed off at Carr last year too, or himself, whatever the situation. So it's the same thing. You're going to, you know, get angry with, you know, with the situation, but he still chose that situation.
No, he did. He chose it, but I think I got to give him a little bit more grace there, just because, you know, you really can't put too much, faith in the Raiders organization to make the right decisions. Like they've shown
time and time again
to be inept.
So Daryl just put up, Bud Diggs though. So that was the whole point of my tweet was, you know, can you blame Devontae for this? Blah, blah, blah. But then Diggs is a diva. Diggs, everyone, you know, is making all these comments that when Diggs, you know, does it, he wants out of Buffalo and, you know, he's a diva and he, you know, he's upset with the whole team, yada, yada, yada. In your opinion, because a lot of people said it's a different situation. Don't you think that a player that is expecting to win and is not, or expecting to be the number one wide receiver on the team and is not, to be actually more frustrated and, in my opinion, have more of a reason to be upset and flustered and frustrated on this, you know, on the sidelines, where Diggs is. I feel like in his mind, they should be winning every game and he should be the focal point when you guys aren't winning. That's frustration, expectation, like a lack of, you know, when you have all these expectations and you're not getting there, you know, that breeds frustration. So I actually feel like he has more of a reason to be frustrated than Devontae. I think Devontae pretty much should have known what he was walking into, especially this season, knowing that they already traded Carr. Jacobs was a holdout. Like, I think he had to know going into the season what they were, you know, going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some hope that goes in there. I mean, you know, they had a much better season last year. Just running the ball, they were really good. This year, Josh Jacobs really hasn't done too much. They stopped using Hunter Renfrow in the past game, which I thought was a problem. But let's be clear. All wide receivers, in my opinion, are divas. They just are. It's like being a drummer in a band. Like, they're all divas. And these guys just want to win. So whether you win, lose, or draw, like, you know, these guys want to be the center of attention or center of the focal point of the offense in the passing game, right? And it's just something to expect. I mean, I would venture to say Andre Reed was probably the same way. Social media is just different now. It didn't exist back then. But Jerry Rice was a diva, right? Like, all these dudes are divas.
So I actually in London, I actually got to spend some time with Andre and his wife. I had kind of told the story on one of the shows. And it's funny because everyone before this is like, you know, Andre Reed is, you know, such a diva. He's, you know, so rude and blah, blah, blah. He was so opposite of that in real life. But while we were sitting there talking, you can tell how confident and kind of cocky he is. Yeah. but not in a bad way, just because, like, that's how wide receivers are.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of funny. But in the end, you know, Andre and his wife, Teresa, they were super, you know, great people. I think the narrative was a little switched because he came up to us versus us going, oh my God, it's Andre Reed. He came up to us because one of my boys had on an Andre Reed jersey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of a different thing, but just sitting there listening to him talk, the more he talked, I was like, yeah, there's the wide receiver. And, you know, like, there it is.
Yeah. So, that confidence. I mean, you got to have it, right? Yeah. Like, you know,
but even 30 years later type thing, yeah. It's like he still has it. So it's kind of funny.
Andre Reed's still the man, you know.
He kept on joking. He's like, look who I married. You know, she's 20 something years younger, like 23 years younger than him or something like that. So,
Yeah,
she was great too, by the way. She was awesome. I loved her. So I actually got her phone number. And I texted her on Thursday. I was like, I see Andre. Cause he did the beginning of the Bills, the shout and everything.
Oh, nice.
On Thursday. So, and she was like, oh yeah, he's there. But great, you know, great experience. So because I didn't want to talk too much about last week, because so many people have already been there. You know, we kind of just, I think we've all said it. I know that Joe and Spence talked about it on their show. While we were watching the game, Spence was sitting next to me and I was like, dude, they hurt us. Like, I think they hurt us. Like, you know, not in again, Spence kind of alluded to it. Not like us, like just us right. as content creators. I meant like the fans. They had a couple of quarterback called runs, you know, like, we did a screen pass. I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is great. They're listening. So, and that's kind of funny because as the night went on, that was like the narrative that I kept on seeing on social media. Everyone's like, they heard us. They're listening. And I was like, yes. But I want to see more of it. I just don't want to see us take our foot off the pedal. The one thing I did want to bring up that I noticed a lot that kind of surprised me on Thursday was the Bucs had a lot of 7 and 8 men in the box. Like, they were crowding the line of scrimmage and we never really took a deep shot. And that kind of, I was like, did we get so, you know, zoned into a specific way that we wanted to call the game the game plan that they weren't willing to change it once they started realizing what was open? I mean, because the middle of the field, especially, you know, 20, 30 yards deep was kind of there a lot. And when I rewatched it, I was like, oh my God, it really was. They had single coverage most of the time. And most of the time it was only, you know, one safety deep. And I'm like, why are we not exploiting that? And then in the fourth quarter, we kind of exploited it, you know, once or twice towards the end. And that was like, you know, I wish we had already put the game away at that point.
Yeah, I think one of the things we got to keep in mind is that, you know, we got to remember where the offense was coming from. I mean, these guys put up some stinkers, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Josh had his quickest trigger that he's had in his career. I think it was like 2.2 seconds time to throw. He was getting rid of the ball quick. So it was more of a product of taking what the defense was giving him. And I think it was kind of, you know, I don't know if it was something that it was coached out of him in terms of like, okay, you can't just sit there and just go to Diggs all the time, force feed Diggs. You got to get some of these other guys involved. And that's why we saw Kincaid and Shakir kind of have the success that they had. And so when you're going quick, you know, up-tempo style offense, in my opinion, you don't have to go, you don't have to take deep shots if it's working. And so they methodically, quickly got the ball up the field, and score touchdowns when they needed them to. So I don't have any problems with the deep shots, you know, last week, but I expect to see some this coming Sunday night, just because I feel like there are some opportunities to be had. And also, speaking of the Bucks, you know, Antoine Winfield does play single high safety too. And he's got really good ball skills, as we saw. I mean, you know, just blitzing Josh Allen off that left side there and having the ball tipped and being picked off. So, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, let's throw where he's not kind of situation. And also, you got to keep in mind, you know, those linebackers, they played the game really well. Them having eight guys in the box, that's a byproduct of Todd Bowles' defense. You know, they're going to crowd the box. They're going to give you muddy looks and stuff like that. So Josh did the best thing. They used tempo, and he got the ball out quick and easy. And I think that is going to be a recipe that they can and should use moving forward this Sunday night.
Yeah, and I hope that they continue to use the 4-minute up-tempo type of offense. I feel like they kind of started to go away from that in the third quarter. And that was, you know, I think we've all talked about it one time. It's frustrating. You know, yes, we punted and got, you know, three punts within the 10-yard line. But at the same time, which I was okay with one or two of them, but, you know, I was just like, we need to put this game away. They're going to, you know, all they have is one play, and then they're right back in this game. And I hated the fact that I said it, because right after I said it, they ended up scoring. And I'm like, now they're within one score of this game, and I'm, you know, freaking out. So I get very superstitious. Most people that know me.
So for those of you listening to the show, I want to make sure you guys understand that, you know, Sarah, apparently the Bills game revolves around Sarah and what she thinks is going to happen.
She is the
if cosmic.
I have the wrong socks on, Josh knows it. And I'm telling y'all, something wrong.
You know, screw what the performance and whatever these guys are doing on the field, whatever Sarah's feeling. So we just need to get our cues from her on Sunday night.
Yep. So I actually had texted a couple of people. I was like, I didn't have my lucky necklace on when we lost against Jacksonville. So it wasn't the hangover of us traveling too late. It was the fact that I forgot my lucky necklace.
Hey, well, if it's all about you, they just better keep winning. All right. Yeah. I'm cool with it. As long as they just keep winning, I'm straight.
All right. Well, I kind of wanted to get your idea quickly before we head into the second part of the show, which is obviously to talk about Cincinnati this weekend. We're kind of midway through the season at this point. In your opinion, and I know I might be putting you on the spot a little bit, kind of four best teams in the NFC heading into the second half of the season and four best teams in the AFC heading into the second part of the season.
The four best teams in NFC, I think the Eagles are clearly number one, just because they are. The 49ers, even though they lost three straight, I think teams are kind of figuring out. They're kind of figuring out Brock Purdy a little bit, right? I'm going to go ahead and say next up, I'm going to say the Cowboys are probably the third team. Fourth team, I would say the Lions. The Lions are the fourth team. And I have them at four just because I'm not sure if they're such a young team. I think once you get into I think you learn to win in the playoffs, you know, in the NFL. So I have them at fourth just because of the experience factor. And I know Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl and so forth, but they got a lot of young pieces that aren't used to winning. So right. I want to see that kind of come to fruition. Like the Baltimore game was a big test for me, the eye test, right? And you got blown out by the Ravens. You should have put up a better fight there.
Right.
Jared Goff was terrible that game. The whole team, both sides of the ball, they were terrible. So
we have the same. We're not in the same order, but we definitely have the same teams. So I have, you know, Philly, Detroit, San Fran still. I think when healthy heading into the second half of the season, they're still going to be the team to beat. Mm-hmm. And then I have Seattle and Dallas. Dallas has their moments where they look like everything the part. And then they have moments where they look like when they played Arizona, they looked like crap. So, and then Seattle's that team that's just kind of clawing away, trying to, you know, still be relevant. And, you know, I like the Seattle team. They're kind of that, the ugly, you know, they're the ugly team.
They
that,
ugly,
you know,
right?
Like
the Giants last year.
Yes. But you're kind of rooting for them because mm-hmm. you're like, hey, you know, I'd like to see what they can do. So those are kind of, I guess I cheated and did 4.5 because I kind of have Seattle and Dallas kind of tying at that fourth place.
It's your show.
What about the AFC?
The AFC.
I think it's harder in the AFC to choose.
Yeah, I think Kansas City's one. I would say the Bengals are number two. I would throw in the Ravens at 3 and the Bills at 4. And notice that I omitted the Jaguars. I think, you know, if the Bills and the Jaguars played on, you know, whoever's home, right? If they're in the playoffs, the Bills are going to beat them boys, like for real. So the just, you know, I mean, I don't need to sit here and tell you how good the Bills are, but I think all these teams could be had. They all have major flaws. And I like that. And I didn't put the Dolphins in there just because, man, if it's everything's not going right, I'm just not sure you have the dogs on defense to kind of keep you in a game. Even
but
though
now,
they got Jalen Ramsey back.
I was
going
to say Ramsey's back, and they're saying
Jalen Phillips?
No, the other corner.
Oh, Xavier Howard?
Howard. They're saying that he might come back. I don't.
Kader Kodu, whatever his name is, was playing better than Xavier Howard. I'm not worried about.
Well, I'm not worried. Right now, to me, and I know it's the narrative going around the NFL right now, it's who is Miami beat? I will let you know how I feel after I see them play a pissed off Chiefs team, you know, this week. I think that the Chiefs to me are always going to remain number one until someone can uproot them. I don't think the Chiefs have played like they're number one this year. But to me, you gotta beat the best to say you're the best. So I'm still going to keep the Chiefs at number one. I actually think the Ravens are playing like crazy football right now. So I kind of have them at number two. I have the Bills at number three. And then I actually have Miami at number four, pending this weekend's game. We'll see. And then I have the Bengals and the Titans. And I know everyone's like the Titans. I watched the game. I actually like them with Will Levis as quarterback. Granted, it was his first game. You don't have a game plan. You don't have any film on them. Uh-huh. It'll be a very different game coming up this week. You always have that when there's a backup quarterback that comes in. But I still think that they have the pieces to be an okay, a playoff football team. I think is a wild card, the last wild card spot. So I'd like to see how they're going to progress as the year goes on. With I don't think Tannehill will be back at quarter. You know, as starting quarterback.
The Titans. You have faith in the Titans to make the playoffs.
As a potential, if they played like they did on Sunday, I definitely think that they could be a wild card team.
Oof.
They're in the worst division other than they have the Jags.
Girl,
no, and I'm not saying
you're
that
smoking
or no,
been prescribed.
Not
I need some
coming.
Of that because the Titans they're garbage. You know,
well,
they're garbage.
We'll see. They're in, like I said, they're in one of the easiest divisions.
No, they are. They are. No, yeah. I enjoyed watching Will Levis last weekend.
I did too. I thought it was interesting.
So it's like, okay, show me against a good team. Like,
well, and that's when they'll have film on him now. So I think that it could totally, this week coming up can totally, you know, change my opinion on all of it. But the Jags, I still think that the Jags can be beat, even though they're, I think they're 6-2 now. I think they can be beat. Again, they're just in a very easy division at this point. And yes, I know they beat us, but I think that that was kind of us beating us at the same time. But it'll, I think that, you know, I think that the Jags are going to win the division. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, they will.
I think they'll win the division. But I think that the Bengals are starting to come up. But the last couple of games that they won, other than this past week, it's been a messy win. So have the Bills. So, you know, I'm not saying that the Bills have been perfect. The Bengals have definitely been injured and not perfect. And then this week they looked scary good, but it was also against a San Francisco team that has lost now 3 in a row and, right, you know, seems very injured at this point. So, and yeah, if Purdy's not on, I feel like they kind of struggle with their identity a little bit.
As is the Bills. Yeah, you know, I think teams are kind of figuring out the Brock Purdy puzzle, you know.
Daryl said the Chargers are better than the Titans. I think the Chargers are a cluster. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know what it is. They can never seem to get it together. They have all the pieces. They have, a Pro Bowl, you know, running back. They have several Pro Bowl wide receivers. Obviously, they're injured every year. They have a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, you know, like a franchise quarterback. Like, they have a pretty decent defense. They just can't seem to put it all together, though.
Yeah, I think that this is the old cliche, coaching matters. I think they're deficient at coaching, at head coach particularly. Brandon Staley's just, in my opinion, I think he struggles. I think he struggles from, situational awareness, you know, like they're just bad situationally. And he's a defensive minded guy, and their defense is buns. Just like the Titans. The Titans are buns. Everything about the Tennessee Titans to me.
Well, you know, and maybe it's because it's the first time I've actually watched the Titans this year.
Sure.
Was literally the game where, you know,
they're gritty though. You talk about
where
gritty.
Will comes out and throws freaking 4 touchdown pass. I was like, whoa, what the heck is this Titans team? So maybe it was that. And I love Derrick Henry. He's and I love D-Hop. So maybe I was like, maybe pulling for them a little bit more than I should
be. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
So, you know, as the rest of the season goes on, I will probably eat my words by saying that I think they are a wild card team. But I want to talk a little bit about the Bengals. But before we do, let's get a word in from Picasso's.
Hey, football fans, the season is here. So, you know, that means family, football, and food. But for the NFL's best fan base, it can't be just any food. Bills Mafia only eats the best during the season. And the best is Picasso's Pizza. With 4 great locations in Western New York, it's so easy to treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day. Picasso's. We are Buffalo Pizza. Shipping local and nationwide. Order online at picassospizza.net.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. So, Matt, before we go forward, he put Titans have no right to use the Oilers uniform, et cetera. Actually, they from my understanding, when I read all about it, is the Tennessee Titans were actually Tennessee Oilers for like 2 or 3 seasons, if I remember back. But the reason why that happened is they were able to take the name with them. So, yes, Houston Texans should have been able to keep that heritage, that history, you know, everything. But I guess historically speaking, the Tennessee Titans were actually the Oilers for two seasons prior to becoming the Titans. So they
I lived there. I was there when all that happened.
Yeah, they got to keep the not necessarily the history, but they got to keep that the uniforms and whatnot. Mm. But he said he knows that, but it's not right. Okay.
No,
those uniforms, remind me back, you know, of a time. I love those uniforms.
They're the best in the league.
Yeah. I watched Good Morning Football though. And they talked about, you know, all these great throwback uniforms. I actually really like the red throwbacks for the Patriots as well. I love the Seattle Seahawks old. And that was because my dad was a Seahawks fan growing up. So seeing the old school Seahawks uniforms, it was really cool. I hate the creamsicle ones that the Bucks wear, so I can never see those ones again. I'm okay with that. I don't like them whatsoever. I might be a minority there, but I don't. But seeing those Oilers, those uniforms, I was like, oh man, that baby blue, I loved it.
Yeah, so, those look good.
But I think that they talked about in Good Morning Football. I think that we feel that way because we don't see them often. Everyone's like, bring them back. No, when you bring them back, it loses the nostalgia. You don't want to see them as, you know, it doesn't evoke that emotion anymore. So I just can't wait. Someone just put, Zach of all trades put, give me the 90s Bills unis. I just want one season where we can, you know, rock the red helmet and, you know, the royal blue. I am not a fan of the navy blue Bills. I really wasn't. I know I'm a minority there. I did not. I think they reminded me too much of the Giants and the Patriots. I don't want. I like the nice like royal blue. I don't like the navy. So
I'm ready for Bills redo. Like I think it's time to redo the Bills uniforms, man. Like I think
we have one of the best uniforms I think we have one of the best uniforms in the NFL.
We need a redo. The Bills unis need a redo. I mean, I do like the red ones, you know, the Color Rush reds. I like that. But man, I just feel like you could do so much with the Bills logo. I like the logo itself, but I'm a standing Buffalo guy. Like I love the standing Buffalo. Right. I think it goes real hard.
I just bought my first jacket that actually has a standing Buffalo.
Nice.
And I've never been the standing Buffalo. I like the newer logo, always have. But I actually, when I got it, I was like, oh, I can deal with it. Yeah. And I've already gotten like 3 compliments and I'm like, okay, maybe
you get compliments on everything you wear. Well, relax over there.
Thanks. No, it's not true. But yeah, so I kind of, I'm bending a little bit more towards the standing Buffalo, but I do like our, you know, the charging Buffalo. You know, I'm a little bit more of the modern, I guess, type logo. So
red's my favorite color. So, you know,
okay,
I vibes with it.
I'll remember that. Maybe.
No, you won't. It's okay.
All right. So Bills are 5-3. We opened as 1.5-point underdogs. Now we are 2.5-point underdogs heading into Sunday Night Football in Cincinnati. First and foremost, how are you feeling heading back to Cincinnati? Like, how do you feel? Do you think the Bills feel any pressure? Not only because of the DeMar Hamlin situation from last year, but also because how much we looked like total and utter shit against them in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I'm good with it. Like I'm happy for this game. Now we talked about this last night on our show. And Jeremy had all this coach speak like, no, dude, like this is a big game. This is not just, oh, yeah, every game is the same and we just show up for it. This is a game where you need to show up. You need to show up and show out. The Bengals, I'm loving that it's an away game because we saw what happened with DeMar in Cincinnati. And that was a tragedy in and of itself. And then for them to lay a complete egg in Buffalo. Right. So it's like, sometimes in life, I guess you get redos on certain things in life. And I think this, for them as a team, this is one of those redos. You kind of get to rewrite the book, the narrative about, can you beat this Bengals team?
Right.
The Bengals right now have no excuses. They have a healthy quarterback. They're firing on all cylinders. This is the perfect time if you're the Bills to really like let them know who the top dog is going to be in the AFC moving forward. And if you do that, great. But if you don't, man, we're going to have problems. It's not the end of the season by any means, but you're 5-4. Like you can only lose a couple more games and we're never going to see the Bills at home in the playoffs, right? So this is a big game for them. They're going to have to, like, show up and show out for this one.
So in your opinion, do you think that DeMar Hamlin is going to be active for this game?
That's a great question. It
doesn't
matter.
Whether or not he's going to play, do you think he'll be active?
It doesn't matter. And if I this sounds like it doesn't matter. Listen, DeMar, man, the story is what it is, and I hope that he continues to prosper in life, and I'm thankful that he was able to get back on the field. But in terms of what he can bring to a football team right now, I just don't think, for the Bills, I just don't really think that he offers much. I mean, the Bills were handicapped on defense last year when he was in the game. I mean, he was better in the box, but in terms of his coverage ability, is just not good. It's not good enough. So, you know, it doesn't matter I think he's going to be inactive again, if you ask me. So
you don't
we'll
think
see.
That there's pressure on the team as like in a PR sense to have him active? I hate that we're asking these questions, yeah. But I think that there's a little bit of, you know, a question there to ask, because today there was comments about, you know, we want the best team out there to win the game. And I don't think that it's terrible to say it out loud, but I don't think that includes DeMar.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if I'm done with the storylines, like, in terms of, like, man, just go out there and take care of business. We lost some games where we were being cute. We can't afford to be cute anymore. It's business time. So the best players need to be on the field. I don't care about previous storylines and what happened and so forth. Not trying to sound insensitive, but, you know.
Right. And
we enjoyed the story. It's still cool. And he's doing great things. You got to produce, and he doesn't produce.
And, you know, if by any chance they did feel any pressure and they did make him active, I don't think he would be active on defense. I think he would just be out there on special teams. Why are you going to waste a position on the 48 just for, you know, special teams when he's not going to make any big impact on special teams either? Someone put DeMar has an illness. Yes, he was put on the injury report today being sick with an illness, which I think is a lot like, Elam might need to suddenly go on IR. So I think it's a little bit of I think it's a little bit of them playing to the narrative of, well, he still might not be all that, you know, DeMar on Sunday might not be 100%. You know, back to himself. He might still have the sniffles, so he can't be a go. I think that you put him on there now, and then, you know, they can talk about that later on this week and make that decision. I think that, you know, we joked about it earlier. Spence had, you know, texted me, did you see this about Elam? Mm-hmm. I was like, actually, the second I heard Bean say that, I started going through the injury report, because I keep all the injury reports. I start going through them. I'm like, October 18th, it was when they added Elam to the injury report. So yes, he has been on the injury report. So people are saying that he hasn't been on there. He has been, but he was a full participant all last week. He was limited the week before, but he was still, practiced. So today was a did not practice, which I think is kind of funny. But hey, why not put him on IR? And if he's not going to be utilized, he can still, learn from there, get fully healthy. And no one could pick him up. It's not like, you know, we will have him on the practice squad or anything like that.
Right.
And then we have an extra roster spot. So, we can go out and grab somebody if we need to at any other position, whether it's, you know, defensive tackle or anywhere else for the time being. Do you think Leonard Fournette will be brought up this week? Do you think he'll be brought up his three times, you know, over the next 3 weeks as, you know, off the practice squad?
If I had to put money on it this week, I'd say he's inactive this week. Look how they slow played getting Nyheim Hines in here, right? I mean, it depends on how much of the system he knows. I mean, I don't know. They say this is a pretty difficult system to learn. So I would say he's inactive this week. And then, you know, I think moving forward, he'll do his three call-ups. And then I think he'll, by playoff time, he'll be on the active roster because they're going to need him.
Well, by playoff time, he doesn't need to be on the active roster. He can be called up each game from the practice squad.
Okay.
If that's the case. Yeah. So, I mean,
we still got a long way for that. What, 9 games?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like if you're talking the rest of the season, then yes, if we need him in December, we're going to have to call him. We're going to have to put him on the 53.
Yeah.
What was my last question. Do you think that Douglas is a full go on?
Oh yeah.
On Sunday.
Oh yeah. I think he needs to be, even if you have him out there for key third downs or something. I think he needs to play. I think he's going to bring some needed energy and a juice. And then on top of that, you know, because he's so physical at the point of attack, he's so physical. I think they need that, man. They really do need that.
I don't know if he'll play, you know, if he'll play
a full game,
you know,
but he's going to play some snaps. He's going to get some snaps over Dane Jackson for sure.
And my boy Hayes just put, will I be at the game? Yes, I'll be at the game, 52 straight. I'm not cutting my streak anytime soon, so I will be there. But prediction for Sunday?
I think it's a 28-24 Bills.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I like it. I had 27-24, so I have us just pulling off the victory, but us getting there. Do you have anything that you're hoping to see on Sunday that's different than what we've been, you know, having?
Yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more RPO. You know, they got two really good athletic linebackers, you know, in Wilson and Pratt. And so those guys are super instinctual, right? So I think using, you know, your RPO game to kind of freeze those linebackers a little bit, get James Cook going.
And Josh is good at it too.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that'll benefit this offense a lot. So hopefully they can incorporate some of that or more of that in the game. I like to see the tight end shovel pass or tight end screen that they used last week with Dalton Kincaid. I like to see more of that as well.
All right. All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us. And I won't be here next Wednesday, but Jerry will be, and he will be having somebody sit in for me, kind of the same way I had to have someone sit in for him this week. So I'll, you know, enjoy and go Bills.
Go Bills.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.